Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 527. There is a chapter in Reb Tversky's book on marriage about mood changes pertaining to PMS and pertaining to possible postpartum depression after a baby. And the basic concept of this chapter, which we're not really going to go into depth about, is just to explain that while mood changes are normal based on normal situations, a job promotion would increase joy, a cheerful mood. If you're under audit, it will be you'll feel down somewhat. Child is valedictorian, it'll bring you happy. Someone's ill, it would make someone sad. So these are normal mood changes. You know, where I got up the wrong side of bed, people are more grumpy sometimes or less so. And these are all normal. It may be due to physiological reasons, biological reasons, not necessarily psychological reasons. And the same applies with more serious things. And PMS very often could cause irritability and anger and depression and confusion and tension. And a husband needs to be sensitive to that, that she may be more harsh than, or series of episodes of unprovoked crying and physical symptoms like water retention and severe headaches and nasal congestion and joint swelling and all of these things. Some things could be treated to alleviate those symptoms, but it's important for women that have these symptoms to take care of themselves and go to a doctor, whatever else that they need to do for their self-care. And husbands need to be aware of these, you know, these conditions as well, and not take things personally when these things occur. And postpartum depression is also something that's very important to be aware of and to monitor, and so on and so forth. It is challenging, obviously, for the mother all the time, and for the father could also be quite stressful period, although they're both ecstatic about the birth of their child, and it's a big bracha, but infant care is a tremendous achrayus, and it's important to work through whatever anxieties and tiredness and exhaustion and other things that people experience through this period in life. But now we're going to go through a very important point of, he calls it the magic phrases, but the idea of verbalizing things that are so important to express love and gratitude towards one's wife, towards one's husband. And it's similar to the way we daven when we praise Hashem. We declare our love for him. We show our gratitude to him. We admit our wrongdoings. We ask him for forgiveness, slach lanu. And the Sfarim ask, Hashem knows what we're thinking. Why do we have to verbalize prayer? It's enough that we have it in our hearts. Why do we have to express it verbally? And the idea is that verbalizing our feelings has also the benefit that makes us feel more comfortable saying those words to other people as well. Right? Children, they're reluctant to say thank you often. Mother may tell the five-year-old, say thank you to this nice man who gave you the candy, and the child will turn away. It's also difficult for children to say, I'm sorry. You know, when the parent says you should never hit your sister, go and apologize to her, and the child will resist it like it's one of the hardest things to do. But it's not just the child thing. Us adults do the same thing. We have trouble saying these words. I thank you very much. I love you. I'm sorry when I was wrong. We have a resistance against that. And in order to overcome this resistance, that's one of the secondary benefits of davening, of actually expressing, I love you, Hashem. I thank you, Hashem. I appreciate everything you do, Hashem, but Hashem wants us to do this for our fellow Jew, for all his sons and daughters, but certainly for one's own husband and one's own wife. He says an interesting anecdote here. A woman told a psychologist, my child behaves mostly at home, but away from home he behaves much, much better. And the psychologist responded, well, don't you do the same thing? You know, us adults do the same thing. We may behave at home a certain way, but at, you know, outside from home, we try to give other people good impressions, so we'll behave better. So the Musar works always describes Hakaras HaTov. Adam HaRishon, instead of blaming Chava, he says it was a Kafei Tov. He denied the attitude, and he was misaken it later, calling her Chava in Kol Chai. But the bottom line is it's hard for us. We sometimes have this difficulty doing this. And a lot comes from, he believes, poor self-esteem. Because when you acknowledge a favor, it may be demeaning to a person who feels a poor self-concept. A person has high self-esteem, he has no problem, or she has no problem, thanking others and being humble towards their husband or wife who did something generous to them, and they're thankful and grateful to them. If you have a low self-esteem, you may feel threatened by that. You know, similar to when people belittle others, sometimes they belittle the other person because by doing so, you may feel more superior and you feel not so. So you want to feel that way, so you do that. So it's very, very important to recognize that tendency within us and to start verbalizing in a healthy way, thanking your husband and your wife for things and being grateful to them and saying loving words to them. Another thing that's in our society that's a major issue is that very often the prestige of a woman as a mother and a homemaker is been eroded these days. Women are considered second blessed. They're glorified by the profession or commerce or whatever they do outside. Now, although a frum woman generally knows her priorities, and economic demands, though, make it necessary sometimes for her to work, most still believe and they feel their role as a mother and a wife comes first. But there's a certain, could happen, like an envious, nagging envy of that liberated woman, so to speak, that's a career person and accomplishes outside in society. And extreme feminism these days trivialize homemaking, trivialize motherhood, makes fun of it, affects the pride of a woman who chose this as a primary role. Whether they do work on the outside or do other things, but this is very important, that no matter how advanced a wife could go in her whatever career it is, she's very good at a business, she runs a business, beautiful, but to take pride in your motherhood and being a wife beyond that. Now, it's important for a husband to be sensitive to this. Always be sensitive to a wife's vulnerability with feeling insecure in these areas. You know, the people that not to believe that women are only good mothers if they value their other aspects as well. The idea is that women are good mothers only if they value their womanhood, their creativity, their inner divinity, their ability to impact the world, independent of being wives and mothers. But part of the husband's role is to value and nurture and validate this part of his wife's identity. Men really have to value all parts of their wife's identity, their role as a mother, their role as a wife, and whatever role they play in any part of their lives, to value it and to respect it and to support it. Some men may have the idea that women were placed in the world to take care of them, the men. Not true. We need to understand that both men and women were placed in this world to do the will of Hashem. That's what we talked about when we talked about those Torahs on Sheva Bracha Shachar Bar Lechvaydei. And each fulfills his or her mission by doing the will of Hashem. A wife's fulfillment of her mission is every bit as worthy as her husband's fulfilling of his mission. This should be expressed by word and by deed by showing that Hakaras HaTov. The Torah frees a man from all responsibility, Shana Rishayna V'sima Chasishtai. But at any time of the marriage, it says that you're not supposed to take a job at some distance from the home if it will affect the relationship between him and his wife, unless she agreed and she gave full permission. Now, men generally may want the physical relationship more than women, stereotypically. But women want a greater need for the actual emotional intimacy, and they may want their husbands to spend more time with them. Men, as a rule, may be more assertive in seeking their own independence and their own individualism. And a wife may feel neglected if the husband has other activities or doesn't spend enough time with her. But the fact that he does spend less time is a misinterpretation to say that he doesn't care. A man loves his wife dearly, but needs to have his own space. It's not necessarily a contradiction. But of course, husbands need to know that they need to spend adequate time to fulfill that need for their wives. Rizal Pliskin brings down beautifully that a husband and wife agreed that instead of arguing about who was at fault for whatever went wrong, they blame the Yetzirah. Let's focus our anger on the Yetzirah and let's reserve the love for ourselves. The Gemara says that there was an argument every week right before Shabbos, and Rav Meir used to stay by this couple three Friday afternoons until he brought them to a peaceful relationship. And he heard the Sutton say, "Woe to me, Rav Meir kicked me out of this house." So we need to keep this Gemara in mind. This Gemara Gittin Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Keep this Gemara in mind that it's the Sutton, it's the Yetzirah that wants to undermine shalom between a husband and a wife. He engineers things that people should argue and to get upset and to get aggravated. Very often when we're aggravated at our husbands and our wives, it's the Yetzirah talking. It's not our husbands and it's not our wives. He brings down Ratorsky's uncle was the Baba Vareba, Rabbi Shloima, and he gave an advice that he said that if your wife did something that offended you, go buy her a gift. Why? Because you should forgive her, but saying that you forgive her may not be enough. Show her that you care for her, even though she made a mistake. And your action will have a greater impact. And when she feels you are considerate of her, she'll be careful not to hurt you. So, but he is right. He is right about this. Some people say you're being mistreated and you're rewarding bad behavior. No, it doesn't work like that. To hear, it's a good thing to do. He brings a beautiful pshat. It says in Shabbos Zmiris at night, that it says, extend your kindness to those who know you, kel kan ivenaykim, O jealous and vengeful guard. And it's hard to understand. It should have said, extend your kindness to a merciful guard. What do you mean to a jealous and vengeful guard? So he gives a mashal about a man who was arrested for throwing a rock at the king, and the king not only didn't allow him to be punished, but gave him a well-positioned position in the palace. And the man became remorseful. How could I have thrown such a rock at such a benevolent king? And the king promoted him and intensified his remorse. A good person does that. When the kindness is given to them, they feel more bad about how they did something wrong, and they'll be more wanting to ask forgiveness and correct their ways. That's what it means. And another pshat, he says also that if you want to be kel kanev anoichekem, you want to give me, be jealous and vengeful because of something that I did wrong, v'shei chazlecha, do it with kindness. I will return to you with the kindness. That will be enough for me. And husbands and wives may have met unmet emotional needs. It's not realistic to expect your spouse to provide them all. And you may blame your spouse for your unhappiness. Everyone comes into marriage with some emotional baggage. But we need to realize that a lot of our discontent comes from within ourselves. It's nothing to do with our husband or wife. That's a very important thing to understand. We could help build each other's self-esteem. We could continue to try to do that in the most wonderful way. It happened once where a wife needed dough, let it rise, and let it rise, and intended to bake them when she returned from shopping, but she was delayed. Her husband was home nursing a cold, and he wanted to do the favor, so he took it. He saw it rose enough, and put it in the oven, but put it in broil instead of bake. So when she returned, she was happy with the smell, but then was horrified to see the black crusts on the challis. But she realized that her husband was really trying to help her. So she didn't blow her top at her burnt challis, but instead she said, "It was very thoughtful of you to put the challis in the oven for me, but look, there it this points to bake and this points to broil. So next time, please make sure to do it on bake." Finished. End of story. All calm, all good. So this idea of the way you talk and how you talk and how to put things in perspective and do your best to create this willingness to give each other as much pleasure as possible. He says something interesting that it's interesting. He mentions his father was admirable for his machshava of it, but he felt it was not, you know, it wasn't the correct thing to do. What happened was, is that Reb Tversky heard his mother say, after 50 years of living with him, I still don't know what food he enjoys. Now, he believes his father had favorite foods, but his father felt that if his mother knew this, she would make put in extra effort to provide those favorite foods for him. And he didn't want to impose on her this, so he didn't reveal his preferences. And Tversky admired his father for that consideration of his mother, but he felt it was offset by depriving his mother a way of giving him greater pleasure. Right? Spouses shouldn't be demanding, but don't deprive them of ways to please them. If a husband knows, should express, I enjoy this, and a wife should express, I enjoy that, so that the husband or wife, hearing this and knowing this, should do everything they can to accommodate them and to provide it for them and have that nachas to be able to do that. Bracha v'atzlacha.